Welcome to Escape the Earth. We are a sci-fi and fantasy podcast broadcasting from an undisclosed location within the San Antonio Public Library. We are supported by the library and by the San Antonio Public Library Foundation. So a big shout out to them. I'm Mary Elizabeth, and my other crew members today are Alyssa
Hi, everybody.
and Tim.
Buenos dias.
Today we are going to be talking about Emery Robbins' The Stars Undying. Before we get into that, we just want to warn everyone about a couple of things. First, there will be spoilers. We go into this assuming you have read the book, and so we aren't going to tiptoe around anything. If you haven't read the book, hit the pause button, go read it, and come back. Part of our goal is to encourage people to read books. Second, this is geared towards adults. We're not potty mouths, but sometimes the subject matter will not be for youngling ears.
All right, I'm Tim, and I'm going to give you the shortest author bio that we've ever had on this show because literally every website that I read Emery Robbins' name on says Emery Robbins is a paralegal, a recovering Californian, and sometime student of propaganda and art history, now living in New York City. The end.
Wow.
Sounds like a very private individual.
Yeah.
Well, our summary today comes from the jacket of the book. Princess Altagracia has lost everything. After a bloody civil war, her twin sister has claimed both the crown of their planet Sayet and the pearl of its prophecy, a computer that contains the immortal soul of Sayet's god. So, when the interstellar empire of Sayao turns its conquering eye towards Sayet, Gracia sees an opportunity. To regain her planet, Gracia places herself in the hands of the Empire and its dangerous commander, Matthias Soran. But winning over Matthias, to say nothing of his mercurial and compelling captain, Anita, is no easy feat. And in trying to secure her planet's sovereignty and future, Gracia will find herself torn between Matthias's ambitions, Anita's unpredictable desires, and the demands of the pearl that whispers in her ear. For Sayette's sake and her own, Gracia will need to become more than a princess with a silver tongue. She will have to become a queen as history has never seen before.
Dun dun dun.
So dramatic every time.
Every time.
Well, maybe if we pick something less dramatic to read, then I would have to come up with something
I
like ba-dum-boom-tsh.
don't maybe I don't know if we can. We keep picking all of these dramatic books. We'll have to purposefully look for a silly book. Oh, hopefully we have some nice candy books coming up. Anyway, what did y'all think about this book?
So I was saying, and I'm the bad one because I did not finish it. And I just had a really hard time identifying with any of the characters. The only one who was somewhat likable was the nursemaid, and she never hardly says anything.
That's understandable. So, for our listeners, The Stars Undying is a retelling of Caesar and Cleopatra. And I think it's very artfully done. I think it's very creatively done because it's set in this like space operatic type setting. So, I did have a hard time with Gracia. Oh, we're going to welcome JD soon to our podcast. I did have a hard time with Gracia's character. She seemed to, I thought I knew who she was until she flipped out of the carpet, very much in the style of Cleopatra. And then it was like her personality kind of changed for me. I think just kind of generating sort of an unreliable narrator for me with her.
So I too had some trouble getting into this book. I wasn't in the mood for it, first of all, which sometimes is a struggle for me. And I don't like to read the book jacket, so I always just go into a book completely cold. And I didn't really get into the book until I started trying to figure out how to pronounce half the names in it because it's a lot of vowels just spilled on a page.
Really
Seau
is.
is spelled, yeah, C. Where is it? Ceiao. And they kept talking about seance, but it's Ceian. And the main character, Saran, because they're flipping back and forth between Gracia and Saran's point of view in the book. I was like, how do you say this guy's name? So I went looking for some, like, I found an interview with the author and a bookseller, and got to hear the names. And when they were, I started listening to the interview, and they were talking about Gracia as an unreliable narrator, and that there's a that the whole story hinges on a big lie. Then I was like, oh, okay, I want to know what's going to happen. So now I'm invested. And they talked about how it was a retelling of Antony and Cleopatra, which I was not familiar with that story going in. So I got a little bit familiar with that story, and then I started seeing that there's tons of breadcrumbs and all kinds of cool references and Easter eggs in this book. And
Yeah, there really is.
that's what finally helped me get into the book and like ride it out through the end. But I
I
did
see.
think that it was very elegantly written,
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
very sensual, it's beautiful, very
I agree.
classic, classy sort of book.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. I listen to the book while I'm reading it. It helps me kind of keep the information in my head a little bit harder when I'm reading these, when we have these like huge epics that we're reading. So yeah, I'm really glad I had somebody to navigate the vocabulary for me, because they are different names. But then after a while, you kind of hear the sort of the Latin influence in it, the from the Roman peoples.
I kept
With
trying to apply my knowledge of Spanish and failing.
the and well, the author did. I think there's a somebody with a J name, and it was an H sound when they said the J. So that helped me, like, oh, okay, that is kind of like very Spanish-ish. Anyway, we could go on about etymology, and I would love that discussion, but we don't have
So, is God an uploaded consciousness?
I think so.
Wait, do you mean the God in this
The
book,
God
or
in
do you
this
mean
book?
God, God, or do you mean what God are you talking about?
Which
Clarify.
God?
Both.
Oh, okay. Well, this God in the book, I think, is a reference to Alexander the Great. But I think he is an uploaded consciousness. It seems like he is very much his own. He's responding to her because she's wearing this pearl that is a computer that attaches into their brain, it seems like an earring that from the ear, and whatever she holds on to the earring, the pearl, he becomes visible to her. But I think he's always aware of what she's aware of. And he seems to respond to her not like an AI, not like something that just is like my Google assistant. It has a personality, it has opinions. Like he doesn't approve of her.
He's
So
kind of a
that's
jerk.
he's kind of a jerk.
But you find out why he doesn't approve of her.
Right. Very interesting. Because I was believing her the first half of the book that she was the next one. She was the chosen prophet. She's a thief.
For Tim, she's a super liar.
She's a very much a liar. All the way to the end, she's a liar.
She's a super liar. I think it's like, what, 400 and some on pages in, you learn that she's the usurper,
She's, yes.
that Alexo picked her sister Arcelia, and that Gracia lied and
Right.
stole the throne.
But I think initially, she thought she was supposed to be, because her dad had told her that she was going to be the queen.
Her dad set her up, right? She was her
Yeah, I think
dad's
her
choice,
dad's,
but she was
yeah.
not Alexo's choice.
Right.
And then she was like, what?
But yeah, I don't think she knew it until she grabbed the pearl and she had it. She put it on for the first time, that he was like, yeah, what are you doing?
But to speak to your question about the soul, there's like a really great passage in the book where they talk about what is this thing? Because you've got, right, so you've got the pearl that supposedly got the soul of Alexo, and that's the god of the entire thing of Say Yet. And then you've got the whole plot of the book, which hinges on Gracia getting Saran to like I feel like she's making a bid for Seon. Like, is that what y'all were reading? That she's trying to like become the ruler of Seon by like getting him to get into a pearl?
I think so. Well, maybe not. She become the She wanted to be at least as powerful in Seon as she is in her country, which would be the queen. She is the queen of Sayet. And she's able to convince Alexo to help her create a new another an additional pearl, a new pearl of the prophecy for Saren. And so she wants to become his prophet, but he would have to die. But I do feel like she is in love with him. There is passion there. Well, there's at least passion in there. There's at least
Is there?
I
Is
feel
there? Is
like
it sincere? Like, because she's such a liar,
right,
I
it is
started
kind of.
wondering. It seemed like when I went back and looked at like his point of view, and when you read his passages about their sexual liaisons, he is smitten. Like
Yeah.
he is, he thinks she's the
From
most amazing thing since sliced bread
jump. Yeah.
from jump. Yes. And then, but she's like very passionate and she's like all into it, even in her scenes. But I feel like as it unfolds, she's playing him,
Right.
especially when things unfold with Anita.
Yeah, things with Anita, I don't know. I want to say that she is human, that she does have feelings and is at least on some level she absolutely respects Saren's authority and what he can bring to her in Sayal and the greater empire or whatever it is that they're not an empire but whatever they call themselves. It's I don't know. I think I have to believe she has some feelings for him.
I think it's both and. I mean, I think
Yeah,
that she does, but I
she's
also think she, I think towards the end, she has less feelings for him. She gets, it gets, things get murky, like in that dance scene with Anita, which is
right.
arguably the best scene in the book, if you ask me.
So Anita is the Anthony, the Mark Anthony counterpart.
I'm gonna stop you because you're saying it wrong. It's Antony.
Anthony, very sorry, you're right. There is no H.
I was like,
That.
what? That guy who was married to J-Lo is in this?
But yeah, so I do like how gender roles has nothing to do at all in this society, that if you're a female captain, you're a female captain. Okay, that's it. You made it up that high in the politics of this society. I do appreciate that we didn't have to worry about she's the queen, she's a female, she has to be rescued. She is rescued, but only because of how poor her country, her world is. That she has to rely, she being Gracia, has to rely on somebody else to come in and rescue her. But that's kind of what happened with Cleopatra. So they are following along that storyline.
So,
So
did we
how?
ever answer your God question?
Oh, I don't think we did at all. We veered off of that dramatically. We went back to how much of a liar she is.
And I got some of the sense of that personality from her. There are little snippets where she kind of reveals her true self in the early telling, particularly like her sister comes to ask her a question, and Gracia is just like a jerk to her, like, what are you doing? Why are you bothering me? Go away, And then just assuming to, pay the bills with, by signing her father's name and things like that. And I thought, I'm having a hard time holding on to her name, the sister's name.
Arcelia?
Arcelia.
Arcelia?
Okay, so Arcelia was very intelligent in her own way, making sure that she won over the soldiers and things like that. So I could see from very early on that she was making that angle. And then it ultimately, I was not surprised at all when she, made the grab for it. But you find out that she was picked after all, I guess. So how would the story be different if it was told from her perspective?
That would be interesting. I feel like she made her grab too overzealously, because there was supposed to be this 2 weeks of prayer, and if they had both just gone through that, Arcelia might have had a better chance of just saying, "No, he came to me. I saw him."
That wasn't her personality, was it?
No,
She
patience was not
wasn't
her personality.
impetuous, right? And she was what Alexa wanted because Alexa wanted a war.
He did ultimately get a war.
But he wanted her, he wanted like he that's what he was, right? He was a conqueror. He initially conquered Sayet from the Sintians, right?
I think so.
He conquered them and he conquered other planets and he f actually flooded the planet.
He flooded the.
And it's part of his takeover. So it's some kind of like ecological warfare.
And
And
he also broke up. Yes, go ahead.
he destroyed most of the planet except for like a few particular land masses. In the process, he sunk all of their valuables to the bottom of the ocean because the whole planet, I guess, was coated in this quicksilver pearl, which was a valuable resource for creating computers and starship engines and things like that. So Sayet is a very wealthy country in a ton of debt, right? They were in debt because they don't have any land to produce their own crops or to mine to get metals to produce starships. And then they didn't have the diving equipment to get down and access their resources that are at the bottom of the ocean, which is also taboo because of their religion. So they're in a real, like, when you come into this story, Gracia and Arcelia, they're in a real bind financially. And Saran and the Empire, they're planning to take advantage of that however they can.
Alexo, yeah. He was an interesting character and how destructive he was in his past. He destroyed a planet, he knocked a planet off its axis, he did, but we don't really get into why he was doing this, except for maybe to make war and to conquer, which is why we can I can see why he was like, I want to make war again, because that's what I like to do.
Yeah, so that's why he wanted Arcelia, right? He wanted her because he could manipulate her into doing what he wanted to do. So if it was, I don't know how the book would, I mean, it would have been a lot different. Could she have overcome Gracia?
She didn't, so no.
And maybe it would have been a very short, boring book told from jail. She spends most of the book in jail.
Yeah, once she's thrown in, they Saren and Anita tell her you should kill her, and even Alexa is like, you should kill her. Everybody's like, you should kill your sister, and she doesn't even to the end. At least, we can believe what she says, that she's eventually going to send her off to some other prison planet.
She like never listens to Alexo, does she?
She never does.
He's supposed to
No.
be the voice of God telling her what to do, and she's just like,
No,
okay,
whatever. I'm gonna do what I
never
want.
mind.
But he does, she is able to also manipulate him into convincing her how to make another pearl.
Yeah, she does do that. And what does she promise him?
Oh yeah, that she'll give the pearl back to
Right,
Arcelia.
right.
So let's revisit, Mark Antony, Cleopatra, and Julius Caesar. So Saren is obviously the Caesar character. Anita's Mark Antony character, which if Gracia is the Cleopatra character, would ultimately lead to a doomed relationship between her and Anita. Is that how it plays out in the book, or is that something that's yet to come?
The book ends after Saren's death by his by the merchant council. And there's this really great scene where Gracia is leaving, where the funeral is happening, and there's like displays everywhere of the funeral, and you hear Anita go, "Friends," and you think it's like kind of leading into that friends, Romans, countrymen sort of sort of speech from Shakespeare. And but all we hear is friends, so we don't hear a speech. We don't hear that part. So it ends after Anita and Ottavio, who is the Octavius character, retake the empire from, because like there's a civil war with those two characters against, and I was trying to find his name, Hontana,
Honada Baran.
Honada Baran, who was the Brutus character, and another character I don't know name. Oh my goodness,
Gotcha.
there you
Gotcha.
go. Cut.
Because they were
She,
partners
they
in
were
crime, and I
partners.
think partners also, and
Yeah. And
lovers.
so after Anita and Ottavio retake and are the conquerors, and Anita is gonna tell her a story. And so I wonder if that's the story we just read, is the story that she's telling to Anita. I don't know.
I didn't put that together.
It's one of those things where I was like, is this still the story? Because she's talking to the reader as if we are, as if we're her audience. Like she's telling this to somebody. We don't know who she's telling this to. So I can just assume that it's going to be Anita. So we don't see the whole Antony and Cleopatra love story, although we see inklings of things to come. Go ahead.
I think there's shades of it. I
Yes,
mean,
yeah.
so you have Gracia, who's in relationship with Saran, and but there's all of these breadcrumbs throughout the book that Anita and Gracia are attracted to each other. There's all these moments she has Anita has a pet name for Gracia.
Yeah.
She calls her Sayette all the time, and they joke around a lot, and you just see the tension building towards the
Yeah.
scene when the dance scene in the
The
bar. So
dance
there's
scene.
this there's Gracia gets locked down in the lower city and in Seau, and she's not allowed to go out or into the upper city. So she just gets in peasant clothes one night, and she sneaks out and she goes to a bar and starts getting drunk, and she sees Anita dancing in the crowd and this scantily clad with like gold glitter on her face. And Anita sees her and goes and gets her and pulls her out to the dance floor, and they're like sexy dancing on the floor out there, and it's just very apparent. But then when Saran dies, Anita comes to Gracia's house, and they do it practically on the stairs. Like
Yeah,
there
that's
is that
right.
very
Yeah.
passionate, yeah, th they
Yeah,
do
it's
have a sexual liaison. And then Gracia is like, I need to get the heck out of Dodge because they're going to come for me, because the faction that overthrew Saran, they're coming for her next. So she gets all her stuff and she hightails it out of there. Katya has destroyed the pearl on her, the pearl that she built for Saran, and she's just like, I got to get out of here. And so she splits, and there's no chance for that relationship. So it is completely doomed. And then, like you were saying earlier, Mary Elizabeth, the factions happen, civil war, and Gracia is on the wrong side. She's a traitor to Saran too, right? Because she split, and and then there's
Right.
a somebody that comes to her planet that comes seeking refuge, and she kills the person coming after them that's in the faction, and then she's wanted. It's a mess, but they do end up on opposite sides after their love is doomed, right? It's never going to happen.
I feel like it was kind of, she was always going to be a scapegoat for whoever won that civil war. They were going to be able to, because they want her planet. They want the riches of Sayet. So if they were going to do anything they could, whoever it was, to knock her out of power there, so they could just plunder Sayet for its riches. So I don't think she had she so she's always come at her machinations as a way to save Sayet and her people. She has, from I feel like the beginning, always had her eye on bringing
Saving
back
her
the
own
glory, saving
tail
her own tail. Say,
and
but which
cementing her
it,
own power. I don't think it's
which,
a, for
yeah,
the people.
I think
She's
so.
super selfish.
I think just marking her as a woman of selfish endeavors is We got, I mean, she's a little, she's got to be more deep than that. We've got to, I got to believe that she's
She's crafty, but she's not as crafty as she thinks she is. She's a lot, and she's a huge liar.
she is a huge lie,
Oh.
but she was able to turn Saren's head to her. So I think she's crafty enough to at least be a very large contender in this, in these plots that she's doing.
And her plight, what ultimately ends up being her plight, to me seems also another indication of how intelligent Arcelia was too, because Arcelia was like, if they take this planet and I have a strong fleet, I can just go get another one. She sort of knew that Sazayet was going to be a lost cause for them. At least that's what it indicates to me.
Well, and Arcelia is still not out of the game at the end of the book. She's still alive, and Gracia still can't kill her. She's in jail. She goes to see her in jail at the very end and is like, she asks for her advice. What would you do in this situation? This tricky, because she's in a bind, right? She's got Jonata and Katya are got a fleet above her full of mercenaries, but they got no money and they want to dredge the pearl, so they make a deal to get some pearl from Sayet. They give him diving equipment, and then Gracia says, "I'll give you some quicksilver pearl so you can pay your mercenaries so that they can win in the civil war against Anita and Otavio." So she, but she's like, "But if you don't give me the pearl, I will bomb the crap out of your planet." So she's like, she's in a complete bind, and she goes and she asks for help from her sister. And her sister's like, "Why would I ever help you?" And she's like, "Well, you should help me." And then she says, "But you know what? I'm going to send you to this prison where you'll be more comfortable on a different planet." So she's not out of the game, too. Who knows what'll happen if she'll come back in the follow-on books and get back in
Maybe.
there.
Yeah, because it with the best thing for her reign is to kill her sister, because she can always gather a banner around her of people to come and attack her potential sovereignty. So she doesn't. So I do feel like she does have a conscience.
Okay, so she's got a conscience, right?
She has a conscience, because, like, she can't bring herself to kill her sister, even when it would be the best thing for her chances going forward. So that alone has to show us that she's got some sort of morals. I just can't paint her as a as just, impetuous woman who brought down an empire on her own,
She sounds psychopathic.
I don't, well, I don't
And
know.
a psychopath could view a member of their family as a possession.
That's true. I don't get that from, I don't get that from her. I guess because I view Cleopatra herself a little bit more sympathetically than I think history tends to want to paint her. So I paint Gracia the same way I feel.
She is a
Maybe.
woman in a bind doing everything she can to get out of it.
They do say that a lot of CEOs and very powerful people are what they call functional psychopaths. I'm not sure who says that. I've just heard it said
Yeah,
somewhere
I've heard that a lot
by
too.
someone.
Yeah.
And it stands to reason.
Yeah, I guess to
I'm
be
not
able to.
advocating, but it stands to reason.
To be able to, fire people at will, and yeah, I guess you would be able to put things at a distance and not take on that sort of mental toll.
Yeah, just being ruthless and getting what you feel needs to get done. So let's see. Who is your favorite character and why?
Anita is my favorite character.
She is a fun character.
I'm a sucker for a self-destructive female. I do. I enjoy reading those characters so much. Like, she reminds me of Ziala from Black Sun.
Yeah, she does is kind of a bit like that character. Yeah,
But
she's a fun character.
I think that's only a facet of her personality. And I, after completing the book, I'm not 100% sure that is, I mean, I feel like she has more depth than just that because of the way she takes over in the Civil War part. So I'm questioning, was she playing that up for a reason?
She
Was
could
it
have
help?
been. It helped her popularity with the troops. She was able to get more information for Saren when she was that kind of free-willing character for herself and for him. I would definitely believe that she is more than meets the eye for us as readers. It would be interesting to hear her side if there are any follow-up books, because so far this is the only one. But I have to believe there's probably at least a duo, if not a trilogy.
Yeah, she has a lot of swagger. I love
She
characters that
does.
have a lot of swagger.
She's a
I'm a
really fun
sucker for those
character.
characters.
We only really see the points of view of Gracia and Saren. I liked the voice of Saren in the audiobook. It was a good voice actor. I can see your point, Tim, that there's not a lot you can identify with in these characters. I've never been with my back up against a wall where I need to save my life in some way. I think I would get too claustrophobic in a rug. Yeah, definitely. I think Anita would be my pick too.
What about y'all?
Well, you guys have me almost convinced to read the rest of this. Like,
It's definitely worth it.
I think
I
so.
think
Yeah.
the first part, I think you could have cut that whole part where they go on that tour of the
Yes.
planet
It was a bit much.
down a lot and still, I don't know. I might have to go back and read because they were, the interview was talking about all the little breadcrumbs throughout. And so I really wondered, was there something significant they're building that I maybe
That's where I
really
think,
needed, but it felt long and kind of, this is just like, I'm like, why are we reading about this long kind of honeymoon almost between these two characters? And it's just like, this is not a romance. Like, what's happening here?
I don't
Who
know.
cares about swimming?
I do think it did build. It showed us that they did have a relationship. For me, I felt like it showed that she did love him. They were trying to figure out their next steps. There were a few breadcrumbs. I think in there she mentioned a character, one of her relatives who kind of went off book, and that to me was like, oh, is she referencing like Akhenaten, that one pharaoh that was like, we're gonna all re worship one god. That was like one small little snippet where it made me think that, because I know a little bit of Egyptian mythology and history just from always watching the History Channel with my dad. So there were fun little things where like, oh, I think that's that person now, and I think that's that who she's they're referencing.
Did you catch that the planets were like Sayet was a water world and Egypt was a desert?
Yeah, well, but Egypt of Cleopatra's time, it's part of the Nile, and there was all that fruitful farming industry that they had at the time. So I could kind of, because they had barges that she would go sailing in. So I could kind of see how it was just a bigger version of that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that part.
Oh, okay.
Well, it had been destroyed with the great flood.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So who knows what it was before? Was it more Fertile Crescent at that point, or
Right. That's what I was thinking, the Fertile Crescent type thing
before
of the Nile.
right before Alexo destroyed it?
Maybe, yeah, like, because he sunk the world, they said. They kept referencing as. And he had a really interesting relationship with Kevaro, who was her ancestor, where you can tell I feel like he loved that character, that person in his life. And he always wished that the children of Kevaro would be him. They like you could see he was looking for somebody that he could love again, maybe in these kids, these distant descendants of his love. But he just wanted to go to war. That was his ultimate goal.
I think that's all he felt that was left to him.
Maybe.
in
Yeah,
his
that makes sense.
immortality, because there's a part in the book where he talks about that he would give it all up if he could have Kaviro by his side. He's like, I'm not the master of all of this. It was me and Kaviro. We created this
Yeah.
thing together. And without him, it's really meaningless.
So
Definitely very
he has this,
romantic.
yeah, very much. He has this immortal life as this computer, but without Kabara, what is it?
That's deep, y'all.
It's not as deep as this one part that I want to read to you,
Oh,
though.
please do. Please read.
It's where they talk about, let's see, let me give you the setup here. It is Gracia. So it's from Gracia's point of view, and she's talking with Alexo, and she's in the palace. This is towards the end of the book, and she goes and she finds the little recorder, like the one that she gives to Saran to record his memories on a daily basis. But she goes and she finds Alexo's recorder. And Alexo says to her, he says, "I was wondering when you might look for it," said the living Alexo softly beside my ear. I didn't look at him. He drifted forward a little and bent toward his own face. The hollow Alexo turned toward him blindly, and my Alexo reached out a hand. It passed through his own cheek. "Is it your true self?" I said. "No," he said, leaning closer to it. "You know better than that, Kaviro's daughter. Your ancestors spent weeks putting its contents into my new body. This thing is only memories. What you carry in your ear is my soul." "But nothing else went into the pearl," I said. "Only these memories and your living blood, and your living blood when you still lived, and the intelligence to animate them." I swallowed hard. "Are you anything more than that?" He didn't look at me. "I don't know," he said. "Are you?"
It kind of harkens back to a conversation Saren was having with Anita, where they're trying to kind of understand what the pearl is and what the pearl is to Anita, not to Anita, to Gracia, where he's talking to Anita about how if I put all this information in a tablet and I send it to you, because they had like tablets, like our types of modern tablets. If I put all this information into a tablet, I write you a letter in a tablet and I send it to you. And you read it there, which is the original message. She goes, "Well, my tablet is just a copy. It's of your message." She goes, and then he goes, "Okay, what if I write a letter on both tablets, and I write a letter, I send it to your tablet, and then I switch them around and I break one, and you don't know which one was the original tablet, which was that the original information?" So they have this sort of discussion, kind of like the mind thought of the boat that gets rebuilt over and over, or not rebuilt, but put together in different ways and stuff. So like, what is information, and is there such thing as original information, and where does your mind go and consciousness? There's a lot of interesting conversations that happen throughout the book.
So most of the questions I've been asking actually came out of the discussion questions at the back of the book. And so one of the
I don't have
things
those.
you
I'm
don't
sorry.
really,
I
I
don't
really
either.
don't.
But you know, in my ebook, there is a whole discussion. There's like a whole listing of the characters as if they are going to put on a performance as a play.
I have that as well.
It's like really interesting. Like, oh, okay, like the play. Okay.
So one of the questions that I find most interesting and is that the book tries to challenge the norms of who is centered and who is celebrated in history and to explore the legacy of an empire. Do you think it succeeds?
So, like the victors write history, kind of.
Right, it says it challenges the norms of who's centered and who's celebrated in history and explores the legacy of empire. Does it
Right.
succeed at those?
I think so. Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I had to think about it. I had to think about Alexo's story. The way Seau thinks of Alexo is religion is and what is the word, and anathema and anathema. Yeah, you know, it there is no
Anathema, yeah.
anathema. There is no religion. Religion is looked down upon. Nobody can have religion, almost to the point where it is religious to think about no religion.
They call them cultists.
Yes. So, as a reaction against the priests who had worshipped Alexo on Sayau, because the priests got out of hand, who were they worshipping? Were they worshipping Alex? I don't know who they were worshipping, but
Their own pocketbooks. They were very
yes,
wealthy,
they were
right?
very wealthy. They're very corrupt. Absolute power corrupt, absolutely. So, because of that history they had, there was no religion. I thought it was Alexo. My point was that going to be that how they view Alexo. So now I'm confused on the history of this book. But Alexo is worshipped on Sayat. He was the victor of their war. Victor's right history.
But he's also fading, right?
Right, to the point where you think he can be replaced by Saren. And to some extent, if you look back at Roman history, there was a watershed moment where Caesar took command and wanted to become emperor. And afterwards, even though he was killed, he was martyred and they didn't worship him, but they're like, he was the great emperor. And that his name became their term of royalty. Caesar Augustus, Caesar, So, but does the book address this idea?
I won't lie, I hate this question. I'll tell
I
you why too, because whenever I read this question, I read it and I think, I don't know what this even is asking. And it reminds me of essay questions that I would get in school that I would have to write a paper on that I would hate writing a paper on. So I'm not answering this question.
Okay, you refuse on principle.
I was like, what does this even mean? Also, I'm not good at history. That's not my,
Oh
history's mysteries do not entertain me. Does
no.
this mean
I
we're
have
not
not
getting
getting
the
the
time
extra
latching
credit
on?
questions. No extra
Oh,
credit questions. I think from the point of view of Alexo being a historical figure in their past and it continuing to influence their society. Yes. Ha! I answered it.
So,
Yes, the
but
answer
you
is
sort of
yes.
have one legacy. Who does Mateus represent?
He
Because
represents,
they're
he's.
two different groups, right?
Well, Mateus Sarin is the Caesar character. So
He's the
we.
head counselor in Seon. He has the
He's the
most
commander.
power, supposedly, out of all
Yeah.
of the entire kind of ruling body there.
Right, because he still has command of the armies. We didn't even go into discussion why he was in command of all the armies. He went to go fight the other commander who was trying to take too much power, I guess, and the merchant council was like, we don't like her anymore. Go get her. And so they put him in command. I can't remember her name only because it's not a familiar name to me. So it's not sticking.
It
It's like
is
Kinha, Kinha. It,
Kinha,
yeah, Kinha.
and
Yeah, that's right. Semfontan.
I keep wanting to call her quinoa.
So his history hasn't been written yet. It's in the process of being written because his followers, his disciples, if you will, are just now winning. They just won at the end of the book, and they are now. Oh, at the end of the book, Gracia declares herself the prophet of Saren. Even though that pearl was destroyed, she has all of his, she still has his memory disc, and I think she's gonna somehow spin that. I'm anticipating what the next book is gonna be.
I'm confused. Maybe I
Go
missed
ahead.
something. Why can she not make another pearl?
She needed
Okay, never
his
mind.
living
Never
blood.
mind. I
Yeah.
remember. I remember
Okay.
now. The blood went into the pearl, right? The
Yeah,
pearl
yeah.
that was destroyed. That's
His
why she
living
can't.
blood. Yeah, because
That's
I
why,
was
even
like,
though she has his memory, she can't make another pearl and dump Saran in there.
I was
Or dump.
always not, yeah, dump some more blood on it. Because I was thinking that too, towards somewhere in there. I was like, well, make another pearl and go put his blood in there. But no, they need his living blood for whatever reason.
Okay.
Fine. Put a rule on this.
The magic systems have to have boundaries.
That's true.
I
There, there's
get
always a price for magic.
it.
Although this one is science, technology, right?
Right, it is
Technological
a technique.
based, but it feels sort of like magic too.
It kind of does that she's the only one who can see Alexo, but she has to touch the thing, and then she has to push the button, I guess. I don't know. but that is like such a weird thing. She has to constantly be touching the pearl with her fingers, but like she's touching it with her ear. Why isn't she constantly? But then she has to constantly hold on to it. So if she's got to do something else, she can't because she's got to hold on to that stupid pearl.
That's right. That's weird.
Hey, hold on, I'm getting a call from Alexa.
That kind of thing.
So what else do you want to talk about?
I guess it's another one of those questions of, would you want yourself to be put in a pearl?
No, not in a
No.
pearl.
No, not in a pearl, right? This is a terrible way to have everlasting life.
Clone, yes. Pearl, no.
Right.
This is a crappy version of the upload.
Really?
And if the clone could be between 25 and 28, that would be awesome.
27 was a good age.
So, yes, clone, yes. Pearl, no.
No. I agree with that too. It
I might
is.
settle for a cyborg,
But it is, I would think that it's an interesting way to have access to family that has passed away. Are is that really his soul? Is a question that they constantly ask throughout the book. Is that really his soul? He thinks that's his soul in the pearl, Alexo, but is that really?
Once again, we're talking abstractions like here. The viewers can't see it, but we're obviously on Zoom and we can see each other, but we're not looking at each other. We're looking at
Right.
representations of ourselves, but
We're looking at a camera, we're looking at a screen.
yeah.
It's not really your body. Yeah.
Which is freaky. It's like, I'm not really talking to you. You
This
can't.
question comes up often.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
It's one of the big things we grapple with as human beings.
You mean, what is the true state of the human soul?
Yeah. Do we have a soul? Is it going somewhere? Is there
Well,
more to us than just
I
this
think
flesh and
that's the extra
blood?
credit question, because if just looking at you all talking or whatever, and we're trying to define whether that's real or not, the soul's a little beyond. I don't know. We've got
I
to
mean, is
settle
it
this once and
a
for all.
soul because it's gone on beyond his initial flesh and blood, right? And we talk about souls in the religious sense, that is a something that happens once the material form moves on. There's some essence of us that continues.
Yeah, I would
So
agree with
in
that.
the pearl, there's some essence of Alexo that continues. His intelligence and his form, his memories. So is that it? Is that our soul? Is that what goes on?
But that's perspective. It's just like if someone were to see these Zoom recordings and we're dead,
Right.
it's still capturing us, but like I wouldn't say it's not our soul, but then maybe.
But there's no interaction with we are interacting, but somebody else viewing would not be able to interact. Kind of like in Rosebud, where everybody was uploaded consciousnesses. It's a similar question. Are they human? Are we human? What is human?
Come to think, I don't remember my birth. This is getting fishy.
Well, and then what's just a good facsimile, right? So in the current climate, when we deal with ChatGPT, you ask ChatGPT a question, it writes like a human. It writes better than most people. I think writes really, really well.
Is it too
But
well?
it's not really answering you. I mean, it's not real.
So I would say that yes, souls exist in some form because there's really no other way to explain consciousness. We're made up of energy, and energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only change form.
Right, and I didn't want to go too far off field or whatever because I didn't trust myself to continue the train of thought. But when I was talking about us being recorded on Zoom or whatever, it is an electronical device. So who do we say that's not part of our soul being like See, that's what happened. I lost my words.
There you go.
It's our
Like the
soul is
DNA.
being siphoned away by talking through Zoom.
Right. Is this part of like, the subconscious thought of like, our pic taking a picture of somebody steals a part of their soul. Is our soul going in? Yeah, I see what you say. Is our soul going into the computer right now? Our
Or is it, or is
energy.
it, or are we losing part of ourselves? But it's like I said, part of our like the DNA of our soul. Like he's still just like we're losing cells because they're dying and they're rebuilding, hopefully still for all of us. But that doesn't mean we
Hopefully.
stop. We're just leaving some of ourselves somewhere
Are
else.
you we still who
Suggesting?
we are? Are we the
My soul tries to escape every time I sneeze.
boat? Right. That was a good discussion, guys. I like when we talk about souls and what is the soul? Because we'll never know the answer.
Well, you will at some point,
Yeah,
or
well,
you won't.
or we
Or
won't.
you will just stop and you're not going to know ever.
On that cheery note,
Oh.
who would you recommend this book to?
I think people who definitely people who like the whole Cleopatra story. Maybe people who are looking for, yeah, a different way to explore history. Although, how many times are we coming across somebody like that? I don't know. A specific
Well,
person.
the other adage, history repeats itself.
Elizabeth Kostova fans.
Oh, I don't know that. Okay.
I don't know Elizabeth Kostova. Help us out.
So she wrote, I think, The Historian.
I didn't hear fans at first, and I thought he was recommending it to one person. I was like, wow, man, that's a specific recommendation there.
Just to Elizabeth
You
Kostova.
So let's see.
know what, Diego Rivera Thomas, if you're listening, this book's for you.
So yeah, Elizabeth Kostova wrote The Historian, and The Historian is, I mean, the description of it is a young woman finds old papers which begin to reveal an ancient and evil plot concerning Vlad the Impaler and the legend of Dracula, which may still be continuing. So it's got like a definite historical background to it that's still playing out in some way. So
Yeah, that I agree with that. People who are like who like historical fiction, maybe who like stories from history.
people who ponder their soul's existence.
Yes, is my soul continuous, people?
Age 23.
Think a lot of people could like this book. Fans of space opera,
Yeah.
queer sci-fi, anybody
Oh
wants to read?
yeah. There is that. There is that whole. I really like how the society is established.
The sexuality is very fluid in this book. And then the his people who are into historical, as y'all were talking about, I thought, I wonder if people like fans of Diana Gabaldon, Bernard Cromwell, is it Cromwell or Cornwell?
Yeah, wait, it's Cornwell.
Bernard Cornwell.
And then who wrote Pillars of the Earth?
Ken Follett.
I wonder if folks that read, I wonder if this would appeal to folks who like to read those types of books as well.
Like historical fiction, period, not necessarily sci-fi or fantasy, you mean?
I could see the connection with Follett and maybe the Gabaldon.
Because Gabaldon
Definitely.
has that a little bit of, with the time travel piece, has a little bit of sci-fi thrown in there.
Yeah. Cornwell kind of puts you in the actual time, though. I mean, his fictitious characters, he kind of just sticks someone in a real war or whatever. He doesn't play with the variables too much. So I guess it depends how much they are into that or not into that.
Right. And more action and less description.
Okay, which we
Perfect.
did, we got very little action in this book. It was a lot of relationship building.
Yeah. There was other types of action.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
And on that cheery note, we want to thank everybody for listening. And if you've enjoyed this recording or other recordings we've done, please don't forget to send us a like wherever you listen. You can write us for, with geek and sci-fi culture at sappleescapetheearth@gmail.com. You can view our reading list at https://guides.mysapl.org/ete. And I guess I should say that our Gmail address is sapl@gmail.com. Join us next month for our discussion of The Meister of Desamond City by Brenna Rainey, which I will have read,
We'll hold
and
you to
JD will have read too.
it.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Escapes the Earth. Escape the Earth.